There's many mothers in the scriptures, in the Bible, but and the one that I like a lot for Mother's Day is Hannah, but I've spoken on that before. So today we're going to be looking at the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37, and it's a nice story, so I will read that. It's a nice flowing story, so if you can just listen, it's a story. So it's history. This actually happened. It's not just a story, but 2 Kings, chapter 4, starting at verse 8. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 37. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old.' So he said, 'Call her.' When he called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' So he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.' So he said, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' And she said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is deep in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her. When she came into him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. A miraculous story of what happened there. So there's many lessons that we can learn from this, not just about mothers, but in general other things as well. So let's try to look at some of the things that I've been trying to glean from this. First of all, this woman was hospitable. And she recognized that Elisha was a man of God, and she recognized Elisha's need for a food and a place to stay. So what can we learn from this? Well, first of all, may we all be alert for places where we can serve or help, either monetarily or serving or whatever it is, so that we would be a good steward of what the things God has entrusted to us. I think of a poor example maybe, but Steve Anderson, for example. He looks around and he sees the needs. And he says, "Well, I can put some lights in. I see a ramp. I can help you put that in. I can put the shed in." You know, these are the things that when we look around us, all of us can do this. We can look around and try to be hospitable, try to be meet the needs of the people that we see around us. Be alert. Be alert. The world needs more alerts, but anyway, be alert, maybe it's money, maybe it's serving, whatever it is, whatever God has given you, be a good steward of the things God has entrusted to us. So another lesson, this woman was notable, I would say maybe prominent, if you could say that. She was, yet she took a humble position. She served God by helping Elisha and giving him a place to stay. She was, you know, she had a servant. I guess she was probably, well-to-do. But she took the humble place. And she humbly rejected Elisha's offer to repay her. See, Elisha said, "Well, what can I do for you? You know, you've given me this room. You know, I want to do something for you. I go to the king. What do you want me to do?" And she said, "No, I dwell among my own people." So I would take it from that comment that she was satisfied with the simple things in life. And may we also be content. May we be satisfied in the place where God has given us. Yes, there are times when we want to stretch and go beyond, but many times we need to, first of all, be content with where God has placed us. May we learn that lesson from this woman here. She took the humble place. So may we take the servant role, not expecting anything in return. We don't, you know, she didn't expect anything, and satisfied with where God has placed us. So another lesson. First of all, what happened? Elisha and Gehazi continued to come up with creative alternatives to show appreciation to her. So sometimes when we try to reach out to people, we thank people with our verbal, at least a thank you sometimes. That should be the minimal, perhaps. But maybe we should try to repay and try to go over and above and beyond showing appreciation to others. But if they don't receive it, don't stop there. Start thinking. Maybe, is there something else I can do? Is there something, you know, so these, they were creative. And Gehazi came up with this idea, and he says, you know, well, you know, she doesn't have a son. She doesn't have, you know, her husband's old. So, you know, so obviously it, the connection was made, and Elisha, you know, kind of made the connection and said, okay, let's give her a son. So, well, of course, if this was God's will. So, of course, Elisha recognizes that it is God's will and tells her that she will have a son. So, may we never give up in trying to repay or show appreciation to others in taking some creative measures. So, another lesson we could learn is that, note that out of death, in other words, a barren woman, out of death, the Lord brought life. And isn't that what God does all the time, doesn't he? He takes, as we talked about this morning, seeds, dead seeds, come to life. We, as dead and spiritually, have come to life because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And so may we, this is just a picture to us of the spiritual birth of every child of God. And so, of course, even in the Hannah and these other stories that we read about, these barren women, but God can create life out of these death situations, if you want to call them that. So may we thank God. May we praise him for the way that he gives us life out of death. So then we also notice that in the story that the father recognized that the boy's mother was a better caregiver, I guess, in a sense. When we said, carry him to his mother. You know, we're not the, us guys, we probably are not the best in terms of caring for people, but, you know, hey, take him to his mother. So what can we learn from this? Well, may we recognize the very gifts that God has given each of us in the body of Christ, and may we also make use of the gifts among us. If and as the need arises, may we also recognize that gift and make use of it. And I think of Joe, for example, going out and giving the gospel out to these guys at Allegheny, and Joshua Roy comes along, and the time when he can learn from that experience. And of course, Joshua may have his own ways of doing things, but at least many times, how do we get involved in God's ministry and using the gifts that God has given us? It's by helping people. Usually it does that, happens that way. Not always, but we usually help others who have a gift, and then we branch out and you start to develop that gift on our own. So may we also recognize the gift that others have. Note also that the mother recognized that help for her son could only be obtained from God. She recognized that God is the only source of help. Elisha, of course, being the man of God, she put her faith in God, if I can say it that way, of course, in Elisha being God's representative here. So may we also recognize that God is our only source of strength. I trust we all know that in our heads, but may we truly put that to practice. May we have faith in the impossible. When we pray, we've been praying for Helen, and of course we think from a human standpoint that's impossible. I trust we all recognize that God has the power to heal, and we trust and just would continue to pray for miraculous healing in that particular case, but we also recognize that God's will sometimes is not our will, but he knows what's best, and we trust him. In this case, the mother recognized that God was the source of strength and the answer to her issues. So notice that the mother's love for the son and the drive to get help as soon as possible, telling the servants, drive hard, get help as quick as possible. I need to get to Elisha, the man of God. And so that was his love. Her love for the son was such that that would drive her to get help whenever, as soon as possible. So may our love for others, may we love others as well, and drive us to get the appropriate help, and maybe we can be of help ourselves, or get the appropriate help if and when required. So some of these, the lessons that we can learn from the story. And then at the end of the story, we see Elisha's staff didn't do anything. So it was only when Elisha, if I can say this, fully identified with the body, with the boy, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand, and that he was, that's when he was raised from the dead. So I would say that may we learn from the lesson here to some extent. I mean, it's kind of difficult to kind of read between the lines here, but may we fully identify with people, with others, sympathizing with them, empathizing, if whatever is the word, and we kind of relate to their needs. And if I usually use the term putting yourself in their shoes. In other words, relating to them, identifying with them and their issues, and so that we can minister to their needs appropriately, pleading to God on their behalf. So that's just some of the things that I think we can learn from this story. Of course, some of them have to do with the mother and the lessons we can learn there. But anyway, may we take that scripture and take it to heart. So how do we apply this to mothers? So why should we honor our mothers? Well, first of all, it's commanded. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Of course, God's word commands us to give honor where honor is due. In Romans 13, verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, how do we honor our parents? That's the question. But first of all, what is honor? So I would, based on the definition, as we look it up in our dictionaries, it says honor is to value or to appreciate, to esteem or respect, regard favorably, to value, to see as weighty and precious. So why should we honor our mothers? Well, first of all, like we already mentioned, that it's commanded. God tells us to do that. But beyond that, even, why should we do that? Well, mothers make huge sacrifices for their children, don't they? So that we can have a better life, so that we can live. This is, of course, this could be true of fathers as well, but to some extent. But mothers are probably the primary caregivers, usually in that sense of the word. You know, I'm impressed with these football players that, you know, have rough and tough duty, but it's their moms. You know, it's the mom that they love. So they're the ones that show them, have raised them, and given them everything they have to some extent. So how do we honor our mothers? First of all, we remember their acts of love and commitment to us. We remember them, call to our minds what they've done for us, and we appreciate that. So that's, first of all, that's what we should do, remember them, and then we respond with acts of love and gratitude and say, I will do this for you. I will give you gifts. I will give you whatever as a gesture, an act of our gratitude. So may we do that as well for our moms today. And And something that I probably need to do more, a little bit more of, is just telling them that we love them. You know, Mom, I love you. Kind of a something that's hard to say. So that's why we have greeting cards. You know, you go out and it says it for us. But sometimes it's tough. So I was reminded yesterday, I was traveling in the car. I have Christian radio on all the time. So a story of a lady that, you know, a mother was busy doing 15 different things, that, like mothers usually do. You know, you're multitaskers. You're running every which way, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, the boy calls out to his mom and says, Mom, come over here, please. Oh, do you really have to? I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Do you really need me? Come on. So the boy keeps saying, please, Mom, can you come over and see me for a minute? Now the boy was on Zoom with his class. Okay, so the mom's, oh, boy, do you really need me? So out of desperation, she finally comes and goes to the son. And then the teacher on Zoom says, now, does everybody have the thing that they love in front of them? So that, now the mom was rebuked a little bit, like, oh boy, I should have come. But she greatly appreciated that, I'm sure. So thanking them. We need to thank our moms. Thank them for what they've done. Gestures of gratitude can many times be more of a burden sometimes on the recipients than the people giving it. In other words, for example, what I'm saying is, some kids say, "Oh, Mom, I want to help you. I'll clean the dishes." Or no, let's put it this way: I'll make dinner for you, or whatever. And they leave the place a mess. So you end up doing more work than it was to initially. But that, despite the fact that it took that mom more effort and energy to get through that situation, I'm sure that the mom appreciated that and would remember that, even though it took them a lot more time and energy to do that. And then I have a video here to show you, a little skit that I'd like to show you. It's kind of impresses on me some of these important points. It's only 3 or 4 minutes, so hopefully that will and press home some of the points.
Have a good night.
We don't need to do singing lessons like that or gymnastics or any dance lessons. Yeah. They're just expensive, you know, and I don't even want
to. No, 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 no. Hey, please, please.
Sorry, we closed already. Come back tomorrow.
No, no, but tomorrow's Mother's Day.
Hey.
I have cash.
Let's make it snappy, boys. I got some hungry kitties to get home to.
Okay. I don't know why you want to buy your wife something that's just going to be dead in 3 days.
It's a thank you for all the slack she picks up with our family. I mean, you and I both know I'm a mediocre dad and husband at best.
Hey, listen up here, mi amigo. Buying your wife a bowl of petunias is not going to assuage your sins for being an extremely subpar father and husband.
I didn't say extremely subpar.
You didn't have to. You know, Mother's Day gifts, they just seem so desperate. I mean, take me for example. I gave my wife, Victoria, the best gift that she will ever have.
A diamond?
My offspring. What woman would want that?
Here we go.
Just let that sink in. The truth will set you free. All right, okay. All the phones. Is there like eucalyptus in here? Is that eucalyptus or is that a cat? Ugh.
How much is this?
$175, I think.
Yeah.
Told you. $175 and dead by Wednesday. Hey, le macaroon. Don't mind if I do. Okay, that's gonna leave a mark. Hey, hold your goose. Let me grab a couple of bacon. Goes home for the missus. Attention, everybody. That's not eucalyptus. That is a bona fide cat. I'm okay.
You know what? I'll go ahead and take this before he destroys the place. Is this your shop?
No, it's my mom's place. She opened it when we were kids.
So I guess you didn't get her flowers for Mother's Day.
Actually, every Mother's Day, she would let each of us kids go through the shop and pick out something to give her. We'd all pick out the biggest, most expensive things we could find.
So I guess she bought her own gifts?
Oh, she paid for her flowers and much more. She paid with long days and short nights, replacing her worries with prayer. She gave up what she needed so that we could have what we wanted. She gave up more than I'll ever really know. But she didn't look at it that way. She would say, "You all are my true little flowers, and it's my job to make sure that you are watered with love and placed in the light of the sun." I mean, that's what moms do, right? They help us grow in God's love so that we can be a witness to God in the world. So, I thank God for her daily, and nowadays I sneak cash in the register and I pay for her flowers on Mother's Day. Receipt?
Can you put these in the tab, please?
Door.
Here. Okay. I'm holding it with my foot. I am towing the door.
I got it.
Happy Mother's Day. Oh, boy.
So, how important are our moms? We may consider them to be less honorable, but we're exhorted to bestow greater honor to them. 1 Corinthians 12:22-24, "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it." So may we consider them to be less, may we be exhorted to bestow greater honor to our moms. The insignificant, many times insignificant, off to the side, but we need to honor them. So what does the faith chapter talk about? Hebrews 11:35, it says, "Women received their dead raised to life again." Women received their dead raised to life again. And I think this would probably refer to perhaps the Shunammite woman that we read about, as well as perhaps the woman of Zarephath, where in a similar story, where their dead sons were raised to life. Elijah raised the Zarephath woman. Elisha raised this woman to life. So why? Because it was their faith. They're in the faith chapter. So mothers are important. So mothers are not a nobody in God's kingdom. May we all take note of the same, that we're all precious to him, despite what others may think or know about us. And then be encouraged. God made us all special, isn't it? We all have a purpose and a plan that God has for each of us. We're all important. Psalm 139, verses 13-16 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So, may we honor our moms. But, more importantly, if I can say it that way, may we learn to take these principles of honoring our moms and honor God. How do we honor God? We remember his acts of love, just like our mothers to some extent. But isn't that the way God raised us? You know, we grow up in the earthly atmosphere that we have, in an atmosphere of love within the family. Now, I'm sorry, there are some people that, you know, there's exceptions to the rules here because, you know, maybe this is an aside, but when I remember talking to the Iwana kids there with people from Abbotsford about fathers, and they had no concept of what a good father really was. So when they read the scriptures and they see about, you know, they have no concept to some extent. But, you know, these are the exceptions. It's not the way God intended the family to work. But in the same sense, maybe we have mothers that may not have done acts of love for us as much. But I think for the most part, as I look through the audience, I think we can at least say that most of us at least have have mothers and that we can honor and respect. But we definitely can say that God has showed his love in such a wonderful way by sending his own son, the Lord Jesus, to suffer and die for us. So may we remember his acts of love. How do we honor him? By remembering his acts, which we do every Sunday morning. Remember what he's done for us, and particularly the sacrifice of his only beloved son on the cross of Calvary. We appreciate him. And then what do we do with that? We respond with gestures of gratitude by giving, giving monetarily or whatever, serving, in whatever way we can. Be creative in your thoughts about how to do that. You know, in a sense, God could say, well, you know what, I don't need that. But no, he wants us to show him love and gratitude and telling him we love him. Once again, just telling him, you'd say, God, thank you for loving me and thanking him. So, now, just an aside note here, perhaps off to the side, our acts or gestures of gratitude are prompted by God working on our hearts. So we're only giving back to him what he has given to us, just like our mothers give us what we give back to them. Everything we give to God is from him anyway. So we got through this in the Bible study in Mark chapter 3. We talked about this a little bit in the Bible study. It says Mark 3 verses 31 to 35. This is a little bit of a different angle of looking at things a little bit. It says, Mark 3, 31 to 35, says, then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brothers? He looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. So I guess I would think we can learn from that God's family is perhaps more important, and you know the than our physical mother and brother, so to speak. So may we, you know, keep things in perspective, but may we appreciate other people in the family of God, just like our mothers to some extent. But may we honor our mothers today. trust and pray that these thoughts would encourage us to honor them, but more importantly, perhaps, is to honor God and to give thanks to Him for what He's done for us. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the examples that You give to us in Your Word and how we can apply them. And so we just commit this time to You. We just thank You for all that You've done for us and given to us. We think of the Lord Jesus suffering and dying on the cross of Calvary. And once again, we just ask that You would help us to well up in worship and praise to You as we consider all of who You are. We give You thanks again and again. Pray Your blessing in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.